Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another reaction show for House of the Dragon here at Take the Black Live. I'm Daniel Roman, one of the editors of WinterIsComing.net, and with me right now is Natalie Zamora, head of Fansided's entertainment division. And yeah, this is a big one. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be joined shortly by Savannah Lee and Dan Selke, the other editor at Winter is Coming. But for now, whew, we're just going to react where we are. How you doing, Natalie?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about it. This is one of the first episodes that I'm like, damn, I wish I could finish the episode, even though I've seen it twice all the way through already. But the last, what,
same,
like 15 minutes that's happening right now, a lot happens.
Yeah, it really does. I totally feel you. I leaving, you know, a couple minutes early to hop on the podcast. So I was like, I'm going to miss things we can't say. But yeah, this was a crazy episode. Any favorites, any things you want to talk about before we get to the finish line? I think there's about 10 minutes left.
I know. Well, there's still a lot we could talk about with these last 10, 15 yeah. minutes. Daemon and Rhaenyra, Aemon, how dark everything was again. There's just so many things.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So just before we got on for the show, Natalie showed us that why is House of the Dragon so dark is something that is trending on Google right now. I didn't really think about that when I watched this episode ahead. But watching it tonight, I had a real hard time seeing. Was that just me? Did you experience that too?
Yeah. I think when I was watching the screener, I guess just when you're on your laptop, you're able to just put the brightness all the way up, which I guess that's what I did. Watching this on my TV, I was like, if I hadn't seen this before, it's like pitch black. I went into my TV settings totally. And changed the brightness because I was like, let me watch this, please.
Yeah. So now we're back. Yeah. Back in the season 8 glory days here of, I think I know what I'm seeing, but I'm not quite sure. So I guess, what was the first thing you said? It was Aemon.
Yeah, Daemon and Rhaenyra.
Daemon and Rhaenyra. Yeah, so yeah. How do you feel? I noticed that Daemira is trending right now, and I have mixed feelings about this because, you know, on the one hand, it's Daemon and Rhaenyra. Everyone's been shipping them. On the other hand, they are related still. How do you feel? Is this show making us worse as a society?
Possibly. I feel like I've been so conflicted kind of morally, because if this was in real life, I would hate like all of the characters. Let's get that straight, get that out of the way. But it's not. It's fictional. So I feel like I can be open with my shipping for Daemon and Rhaenyra and just know that it's not real. So I think I feel okay, especially going online and seeing a lot of people are more than okay with it. I feel a little bit more comfortable saying like, yes, I want them to be together, knowing that it's awful. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. It's so fascinating to me seeing, you know, Daemon and Rhaenyra's relationship, like in terms of their genealogy is the same distance as Jon Snow and Dany. So it's kind of fascinating seeing, you know, like just how people get behind that and have just decided this is okay.
Yeah.
We want it. The music was a little different. Did you notice that? Like compared to the last time they were hooking up in the brothel, it was like dark and dangerous. And this time it was really romantic.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah, I think that there's definitely a lot more of a shift, I guess, in the relationship. Obviously, there's been so many years since that happened. But yeah, I think they're trying to get us to root for them more so now. I mean, the music, definitely. I did notice that.
Yeah. So are you rooting for them?
I am.
Safe to say.
How are you? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think I am. I feel so weirdly conflicted.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like two of the most interesting characters. So on that level, yeah, I'm rooting for them. Their whole, you know, we'll say union because I don't know where we're at in the episode. Their union that happens this episode left kind of a weird taste in my mouth, which I think was kind of the point. With how quickly things move along, we'll say, in the back half of the episode.
Yeah.
So I mean, I like it because I like Daemon and Rhaenyra, and it's good to see, you know, that I always love when they're talking really bluntly with each other. I feel like that's something the show uses to be like, here's a functional relationship in some way or other when they can just talk like this. I kind of love that when they're walking on the beach, they just like don't mince words. They just get right to it. And she's like, I'm sorry for your loss. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry for yours too.
Yeah.
I know you had one.
Yeah, I know. Definitely. That's how I felt like in the beginning episodes. I was like, I love them both individually. Together, I'm not sure. So it's taken me a little bit of time.
But it
is weird for obvious reasons, but I think this episode definitely, I think, is supposed to, leave a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, I saw a lot of tweets just already tonight being like, they didn't waste any time. Like they were at Lena's funeral and the same night. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
When you think about it that way, it's not great, but.
Yeah, totally. I feel like they, and hey Tornado over on the YouTube says, haven't watched yet, please just tell me it's good. I've had a long day and just want to enjoy it. It's good.
It is.
You know, we are going to be talking spoilers here as soon as the episode ends, but this is a great episode. At least that's my opinion. How did you feel this one stacked up to the other episodes?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, looks like Savannah just finished, maybe. It's 9:55, so it's possible.
I did.
Thoughts.
Bravo. I think this might be my new favorite episode.
It's up there for me. It's really up there for me. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think this and the fourth one are probably my two favorites of the season so far.
And what Martha is the just common finished theme? Two. The common theme is Damon and Rhaenyra, so you are shipping them.
That's and true. I'm shipping by default.
I was listening to y'all in the background while I was finishing that, and I like them together. I think they have a lot of power together. But yes, they really did just get to work right away, right after the funeral. I'm like, that's just them. Like, she's like, she has waited on him since he left.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love them even more. I don't care. That was bravo to this director. Wow.
Yeah. So this is the last episode that we know of, unless he comes back. Miguel Sapochnik, one of the showrunners, directed this episode. Same guy who did Battle of the Bastards, The Winds of Winter, Hard Home, whole bunch of stuff. So this is kind of his send off as a director for the show. We don't know if he'll ever be back, but hopefully.
Well, it was a heck of a send off. I'll say that. And if it is a send off, like, bravo. Well done.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like the darkness of it all because it kind of sets that like eerie mood that something is about to happen. And it did.
Yeah. And
we saw Allison's true colors. No, I'm team black all the way. I don't care what Rhaenyra does the rest of the way. You can't tell me you want a little boy's eye just because you're just, I don't know how far we've gotten to that, but I don't want to throw it. I don't know. But I got to process this because
Yeah.
It was a lot. It's hard to imagine. I see Silver Souls over on the YouTube saying, I hate Aemond even more and the Greens in general. And it is like, what would it take for someone to be rooting for the Greens right now? Like, let us know in the comments if you are Team Green right now, because they've really, they haven't made them very likable comparatively. Yeah. It's so easy to root for Damon and Rhaenyra, which is funny because Damon does so much awful stuff all the time.
Well, he finally made the right decision. So,
yeah,
finally.
I feel like I kind of love Allison now, but just because she's so unhinged and entertaining that I'm like, every time she's on the screen, I'm like, yes, like do it all, go all the way, like cross the line. It's fine. But my loyalty is with Rhaenyra and Damon for sure. But I love Allison. And Viserys is just, I don't know how long he's going to last. He called her Emma.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
In front of everyone too, like
that's pretty bad.
That was
that scene of Viserys just shouting for everyone to listen to him, and everyone's just looking at each other like no one's listening to him. That was kind of sad. I felt bad for him, but also not super bad because his complacency's kind of let a lot of this stuff fester. But it's sad to see him.
We expect this by now. That's what he does. He just kind of like avoids the confrontation until he couldn't avoid the confrontation because everybody was finally there yanning at each other. And, I'm ready for that to move on because I'm ready to see what happens next. I don't like having to wait this whole week. I need to watch now, especially as good as that is, as good as it was. Yeah. I really like the dagger scene too, though.
Yeah, that scene was nuts. Allison, I totally hear what you were saying about that, Natalie, in terms of not being on Allison's side, but also just like paying attention. Like, I love when Olivia Cooke's on screen too. She's always so riveting. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Cersei. Like, I always hated Cersei, but I loved watching Cersei.
Yeah, I've already seen like comparisons of the two on Twitter and Instagram and everything, and I'm like, I don't know if she's that evil yet, but maybe she's getting there.
I actually saw this preview, like not a preview, but like a question and answer between her and Rhaenyra's character. I don't want to Don't know the actress's name, unfortunately. So sorry. That's Rhaenyra to me. Anyway. Yeah.
Emma Darcy.
Okay. And Olivia Cooke.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Olivia flat out said that her favorite Game of Thrones character was Cersei, and that she was really excited that the fact that she got to kind of write her story, because the books kind of left it a little gray. Mm-hmm. And so now that I've seen this episode, after seeing that interview with them, I'm like, got it. Okay. Good job. I like that kind of like correlation and similarities, because it makes you think of Game of Thrones, and I think it kind of brings it all full circle.
Yeah, totally. So here's an interesting question. I want to field this to both of you guys, because neither of you have read Fire and Blood. You don't know what's coming.
I ordered it.
Sigil Seagal asks, anyone feel like Allison was about to kill Viserys? No. Do you think Allison is going to kill Viserys?
No, he's already. It's just a matter of time before he just falls out. I don't think she has it in him. I think genuinely she feels for him. She has some kind of love for him because he gave her their children. But at the same time, like, he continues to get in her way when things aren't, you know, with the whole bastards and everything else. And she's like, we know they are, and you are refusing to, like, acknowledge that. And she clearly doesn't like it, because she feels like she did things the right way. But we all know she was in his bedroom, like, what, three nights after Emma died. So, like, girl, you ain't that clean.
That's fair. Him,
but I think it'll be an interesting death, because Patty has been such a force. I would love to see him go out in honor, but I don't feel like he's going to, because this is, you know, the franchise that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that she will, or I don't think she will, or that she has been trying. I think it was on the stream like a few weeks ago, somebody had wrote a comment that they were thinking that Allison might be poisoning Viserys. And I was like, ooh, that would be cool.
But yeah.
I don't think so. Cause she seems so remorseful about what happened, unless she's faking it. She seemed like very regretful about what happened in tonight's episode. I think she just thinks Viserys is really stupid and she can kind of do whatever she wants to an extent. So I think she knows he's on his way. Yeah. I think she'll just let it be.
Yeah. I think too, with Allison, it's like just keeping in mind that she has power because he's alive. The minute he's dead, Rhaenyra is technically the queen, and things get a lot thornier. So I could see her not, you know, poisoning him. Right? There's no real reason for her to do that, because it would weaken her position.
Yeah.
She'll try to marry Kristen.
Oh, God. I hope not. But we'll see.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What do you think, Dan? Is Allison going to one day marry Kristen? You came in right as we were talking about your favorite character.
I mean, he can't. He's in the King's Guard, but I mean, doesn't stop him doing anything else horrible and illegal and things they can't do. So I don't see why not. Probably. No, he shouldn't. If they stick to anything, I hate Kristen so much because I don't hate Kristen. I hate the way they've written Kristen to break the rules of the world we're in. So the answer to will she marry? If they stick to the rules at all, Kristen. No, there's no way. But with this kid, sure, why not?
Yeah, I hated him in the book too. I'm lifelong Kristen hater over here.
I can't even believe that I liked him a few episodes ago. Take that all back.
I know.
I regret even standing up for him. He was just going to do what she said in the whole, that's your king. I don't care if you're sworn to her or not. That's your king. You got to listen to him before you listen to her. And she was
had some nice moments.
In this
one. Yeah. I did like her saying hey, Kristen, stab that kid for me. Mm-hmm. And he reads the room and it's I would, but
maybe not.
I also liked when Allison was like, where's Lainor? Probably entertaining his squires. And Kristen's like, and then looks over and then the Lord Commander goes like, Kristen's like, oh, okay, later. Not the homophobic jokes. Okay. No.
Yeah. I feel like we needed that. We needed to see the tension that it's not just Kristen is getting away with this and none of the rest of the Kingsguard cares. Like, even beyond just how is he keeping his station? Who's pulling strings? But what do the other Kingsguard knights think of his, where he's at? We didn't get a lot of it, but the little bit we got, I felt like we really needed so that it didn't feel like Kristen was just floating off in a void.
Well, I mean, the Lord Commander shaming you for your inappropriate homophobic joke is, I don't know, it's pretty small. There's nothing they can do. The damage has been done. Hate it and I hate him, but we can go more from the fix.
I hate him.
There were a few other moments where we saw the Lord Commander giving guff to Kristen. Kristen was, this whole thing was technically Kristen's fault. Let's just get that out there.
Yeah.
He was the one on duty. He had the night shift, and he wasn't watching the kids.
They're
and
the kids at their jobs,
probably because
they?
He was with Allison.
Yeah.
Or sleeping.
So,
or smoking or sleeping. Something inappropriate.
Dan, he was not sleeping.
Oh, surely they're not, because his whole thing is this weird purity fetishization where he's so into his precious virginity or his honor or whatever that he flips out when it's taken in a way he doesn't think is appropriate. I don't think he would do that with Allison. I think he's if he allowed himself to be a little more sexually open-minded, he'd be a lot happier. And I don't think he can be happy, and he's not happy until that happens. So I don't think it's happening.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about the
job. I think they're kind of peas in a pod. Him and Allison in that regard.
Kingsguard were, okay. So where are we, by the way? What if
we're really just being random
all over the place? Yeah.
All over the place. Yeah. We're basically, buying time, stalling until the Numenoreans came in a cavalry charge. No.
Ain't nobody
what did we talk about? We talked about the darkness of the screen a bit.
It's dumb then. It's dumb now.
Now we can talk about Aemond fully.
Yeah.
Which I like. What did you guys think of the dragon flight with Aemond? I loved it.
I did too.
Yes.
Natalie.
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
When his little butt started walking across the dunes, I was like, is he really going to find a dragon? And then he walked up to him, Mr. Gender, Vhagar. and then Vhagar was like, all right, cool. I was like, what the heck? You just lost your other owner and now you're going to go get with this cocky kid. But I enjoyed the way that the scene was shot.
I love
and how he struggled. Same. And then he finally gained that control and figured it out. And they had a bonding moment. And I thought it was cool because, we were waiting for him to get a dragon, but then he gets the biggest dragon. And that kind of just gives them some kind of an advantage because she is
definitely
massive.
Yeah.
But I did not want his little punk self to get that dragon. I wanted his daughter to get her.
Yeah.
But no.
yeah, when one dies. And I did, that kid fight was brutal, but I did like, he was like, it should have been mine. Well, you snooze, you lose. First come, first serve. I got it. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
It was very kid logic. Was... It was nice.
Yeah, it's like Eamon, you know, they've done a good job of making him sympathetic, which I didn't expect them to make. Well, comparatively, because he's just a turd. Like in the book, he's a turd. You always know he's a turd.
So yes, a turd altogether, but I mean, he's a turd here too. He punched Bela or Raina, whatever the twins are talking to him, full in the
don't
face.
Don't like that.
Yeah, the rock. But the turdness, like the turdness came out immediately after he got the dragon. Like there was a little turdness before that, but after the dragon, he went full turd.
I did love the scene. I went straight to his head. I loved how he never stopped screaming. I loved like the flock of seagulls that flapped him in the head as he went out. There was one shot where he was like fully just not hanging on at all, like hanging onto the ropes, like his legs were dangling. The whole thing was beautiful. And I imagine the darkness in part was to hide the special effects they had to spend on it. And also because Miguel Sapochnik just loves freaking darkness. He loved it in The Long Night. He loves it now. He shouldn't. Maybe at least when he leaves, he won't have it so damn dark anymore. I always said with that, I think directors fetishize darkness. Like it's real. Well, like, great. It's real for like you on the set. It needs to, we need to see it. I don't care. Like just flood the screen in blue light. It'll look like metaphorical night. I'll see what's going on. I'll get the idea. Just stop hiding it from me. But that's,
I felt like ambiance. Like it was like leading up to something negative about to happen. Like that was like the apocalypse part of Game of Thrones. And like that, it needed to be dark because that darkness is coming. And with him getting that dragon, you notice by the end of it, it kind of like it came upwards of light. I felt like maybe I'm wrong, but that was like, okay, he found the darkness. Now he's riding Vhagar and there, that's the advantage. So it needed to be dark. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was fine. It didn't last that long. And it did, it still looked great, especially the dragon riding bit still looked great. So it was fine. But like, I just show me what's happening. I want to see their faces.
Yeah.
Say one more thing.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vhagar, that scene where he's right in front of her nose and like she's the focus and the detail in her face, that was like, that showed me just how big she was and just how I don't know, I was just like, wow. But at the same time, her eyes too look soft because she's a female dragon, and to me, well, at least I saw that, I was like, oh, they like gave her soft, like sweet eyes or kind eyes. But at the same time, she's like this massive ginormous dragon that can kill you in seconds. So.
Yeah,
he would like fit inside her mouth just his entire him
easily.
And was it led to the kid fight, which was, I mean, it was brutal, but I mean, it was, this episode was exciting for me. I think it's the best one since the fourth one. I liked it a lot. We'll talk about the ending.
That seems
later,
to be the consensus.
Sure. Yeah, it was very good. The dragon scene was great. The fight scene was great. And that scene afterwards where it's everyone gathered together and they're hashing out, I think that's the best scene of the series so far. I thought it was very, very strong. Mm-hmm. There's so many good moments. Like I liked Alicent slapping Aegon and being like, where were you, you idiot? I liked Viserys like forcing Aemon to like, who told you this lie? You know what Viserys should have done? He should have told everyone the horse story. That would have cleared everything right up. I liked Aegon being like, where'd you hear this? And like, we all know, Dad. Just look at him.
Yeah, I love that.
That's when the horse started to come out. I liked Viserys getting mad about it. I liked how both Alicent and Rhaenyra kind of had to like, I mean, Alicent was just mad because her kid is maimed, which, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah.
And then Rhaenyra has to like kind of do the thing where you take it to another level to put up like the best offense is a good offense. So he's like, no, actually opposite. The I thing isn't the worst thing. The worst thing is he called him bastard. So you got to be sharply questioned. So just like be offensive to counteract the fact that this does look bad.
Yeah. Well, he started it all. He punched Bela first.
Yeah.
Why is she attacking?
But the little punk kid won't admit to it because he's a punk.
I also even like they were like, what happened? And then all the kids are like, ah, blah, 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 blah. It just
It's just the great, like, the, because like kids will do that, like kids will just scream over each other, but
totally
in this case their little fight happened to have a dagger involved and also implications for the Seven Kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do feel like I wish that they had talked a little bit more about Vhagar in that scene. I was kind of surprised that no one brought up well, he went and took Vhagar. And like, not that I think it should have changed anything. I love the way the scene went down. I'm just surprised it wasn't more of a conversation topic.
Yes.
For sure.
Afterwards.
I don't know. I mean, I feel this is not terribly important to the meat of the episode, but just like, so rider dragon metaphysics. I get the idea that dragon's just there. I mean, like before Lena claimed her, she was just hanging out. Like, you don't own a dragon. Like, it doesn't, you're trying to pest for down a family. When the rider dies, if Joe Blow from around the way can get on her and ride her up, that's cool, man. It's Joe Blow's now. Although Joe Blow's usually not do that. They usually got to have some kind of crazy hair.
Yeah. The dragons don't usually put up with it. Mm. Yeah.
Vhagar had riders before Lena. Gonna have rider after Lena. Vhagar's just like, oh, great, another one. Okay, fine. I'm up there. We are as specks to dragons. We are as dust mites.
Yeah.
I liked the opening scene of all the dragons kind of coming together right before they, getting to see all of them and stuff. I thought that was a nice touch for sure.
House of the what?
Yeah,
House of
same.
The what? Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, this episode answered House of the What. What do you think of Laenor in this? Is it the time? Do we want to talk about Laenor? Do we want to talk about something else first?
I want to, if it please the court, stick with the after fight scene, the bit where Alicent pulls a knife, right out of her husband's scabbard and goes for Rhaenyra. I want to know what you guys thought of that, and you all in the comments out there.
It was awesome. I loved it. I was just saying before you jumped on, I was saying I just love Alicent because she's so unhinged and entertaining. And I was happy for her. I wasn't rooting for her as if she was doing the right thing, but I was like, yeah, like go off. Your husband is not listening to what you're saying and your kid just lost an eye. Like I thought it was awesome. And that short conversation that her and Rhaenyra have is just like flawless. I thought it was so well written. It was what you guys were talking about in Take the Black last week, that Sabrina's small council entry was like, she said exactly what Sabrina had said, which was great.
Sabrina was straight up prophetic. Like she laid out exactly like Alicent's been watching Rhaenyra basically walk around court like, these are my kids with my husband. Of course they are for 10 years. And everyone, including Viserys, I'm not saying I think this is fine, but like Viserys, like just ignores it and just says, I had this horse once as if that explains it. And Alicent sees her getting away with something. And then it goes on with the jealousy she always kind of felt over in episode 4 of her, like getting to go out and have a fun night with her horny uncle while she has to stay in and have a booty call to the 80-year-old king. It did all come to the surface. The only thing I thought was a little, I did like that they're like struggling with this knife, like back and forth, but they're getting out all these like really elaborate lines, but the lines were great. I thought it was, I wouldn't say I sympathize with Allison, but I think I really understood where she was coming from. And that to me is the important thing. I don't need to like you to be compelled by you. I need to understand you. But I understood where she was coming from. I'm looking forward to, and obviously it raised the stakes. Like, maybe there was a way to mend fences when all it was making snippy comments in small council meetings. But when you pull a knife on the princess and slash her hand, there's no going back. You're just enemies.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hate her even more. She showed her true colors with her saying an eye, pretty much an eye for an eye, and then pulling the knife out and doing all of that. And I love the line, now they really see you for who you are, because that goes back to, in my opinion, her not telling Rhaenyra about the fact that she's been going and hanging out with the king in his chambers before he decides to pick who he wants to marry. And so it's, you know, she presents herself as this prim and proper, doing everything right, being the good little queen and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, she's she's not directly responsible for Sir Harwin and the former hand. Right. But at the same time, yeah. She kind of is. And so she's got a really dark side, and her dad saying that he never thought he would see that. I thought that was a nice touch. But at the same time, I'm just like, I see for you for who you are. At least Rhaenyra's trying to enjoy herself in the background, but still show, you know, be prim and proper. You are to me, she is like unraveling shortly, string by string, and doing it in more and more public places.
Oh yeah.
I don't like her.
I like Joey Fisher's comment on our YouTube. I feel like Allison gets a bad rap if any parent has their child's eye cut out. They're going to go a little crazy for a bit. And I also like go back to the thing you were talking about, Savannah, where she didn't tell Rhaenyra she was going to marry your dad, or at least being set up to. I mean, I remember back then she was all just, she did what her dad told her. And again, I like that they've had a very clear chain of sort of passing down the messed up trauma stuff, where she did whatever her dad told her. She thought that was to her duty, so she just did it. It made her miserable. She's internalized the misery. She's doing the same thing to her kids. And also, it was funny that this one moment where she they showed you, now they see you as you really are. Like, apparently who she really is, her dad loves it. Her dad's like, I never saw that side of you. I have never been so proud of you in my entire life. We can win this together.
Pretty much.
Like, who you really are to some people, potato, potato, one man's trash, another man's treasure. One person's like complete psychotic breakdown and try to stab their friends with a knife is another person's you got moxie, kid. So I liked the various angles on it.
Well, he's been laying those Easter eggs throughout the episodes of trying to get her to prepare Aegon to rule, not Aegon, Aemon to rule. One of them, you know, little
Aegon, older, taller, Aegon. Drunker one.
Okay, Aegon, that one, the drunk one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just kind of like dropping eggs, trying to get her to go to the king's chambers and, you know, win him over to win that step. And then, so I'm like, she finally put it all together, bro. Yeah, you're the one that's been pushing her and grooming her to be like this. Like, I wish we had never seen him again.
Oh, man.
Fixing his little.
He brings so much drama.
Full time.
Scene of him fixing his little. King of the Hand thing, and I'm just like,
I do think that they're doing that, they're kind of painting Team Alicent as more villainous, but I mean than Team Rhaenyra. But I do understand them somewhat, and I need to, like, Aegon, I think it's kind of funny, frankly, even if he's a,
I love Aegon. he's the child actor of this generation that I'm gonna miss the most, because he cracks me up every other time he's on screen.
Yeah,
right.
He brings the levity. We've needed it.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I know I'm heir, but I firstborn. Nope, I'm just gonna chase the maidens or the little hand ladies around and drink and get drunk in public and pass out at the stairs. All right, cool. That's normal. That's not normal, but like relatable. Like, you always have that one person that's what they do at gatherings. So
I like Grandpa Otto picking him up by scruffing up and being like, you get to bed drunk.
So disappointed.
What? Disappointed?
He was. Otto was so disappointed in him.
Making it so look bad in front of the dragons. That's good.
Yeah, it's you know, Otto, I didn't really think about when he, in that scene with Alicent, where he's like, I saw in you that we can win now, which, like, how messed up. I do agree with the idea that Alicent gets a bad rap a little bit, because, yeah, sure, you'll go crazy if something like that happens to your kid. But she's literally like, step back and realize what she's arguing for, which is literally cold-blooded cutting out the eye of a 8-year-old. Yeah. Not in the middle of a fight, not on accident, you know, and then she tries to do it herself. So, yeah, bad rap, maybe, but she also kind of earns it, I think. But with Otto, you know, I love that Aemon gets his line from the book of, I lost an eye and gained a dragon, and I think the trade was worth it, or whatever he says. Yeah. And Otto is just like, yeah, he's right. That kid. Let's listen to this kid. I'd pay that price 10,000 times over to have Vhagar. And like, that really does kind of shift the balance of dragon power when you see them leaving. Like, Otto talked about bringing Vhagar to their side. And in that moment, I was like, are we at the point where this is sides? Like, the viewers know that, but is that where we are? Like, like, we're now divided into sides. And I feel like the dragons all being in one place and then splitting up kind of, you know, signified that a little bit.
This episode was it for me. Like, this is the one where I felt the sides. Like, this one. It was like Rhaenyra calls him the Greens. Again, like, she stabbed the prince and tried to cut the eye of her son. The one son cut the other one's eye out. Like, there are sides now. There's definitely sides.
Yes.
They got rid of Laenor because he isn't as good an asset as Daemon. Like, they're going to be there. I felt that there were sides now. One more thing before we go on. I also like the bit after Aemon said, it's cool. I lost my game to dragon. Then he like cuddles up to Allison. I thought that was kind of cute. Cause it's like, I thought about it, it's like, I guess you just watch your mom be willing to maim a child for you. I guess that must feel nice.
Yeah.
Must feel pretty grateful to her right about now. Maybe, I guess.
It's probably going to make some hardcore loyalty between Aemond and Allison, like as he grows up. I wonder how we'll see the ripples of that she was willing to do that for him, and how messed up his worlview is going to be because of going through what he just went through.
They're becoming compelling antagonists. I'll say that. Like, they're becoming villains who I think are interesting. Like, I loved Cersei, and she was a villain, so I can love these people too.
Yeah.
Do we talk about Daemira at all? Daemon, Rhaenyra, Rhaemon.
We talked about it a little bit, but how do you feel about Daemira?
It was good. I predict that on AO3, which is the fanfic archive, there will be a lot of ones titled "You and I are made of fire. We were meant to burn together." It's going to be in a lot of poetry. It's going to be in a lot of kind of little taglines on videos. There'll be a little text like kind of appearing, disappearing on montage cuts together stuff. They were good. They got chemistry. I liked their kind of older, mature talk. I mean, it doesn't. I guess I've just been watching these shows for a long time. It doesn't feel that creepy, even though it objectively is that they're uncle and niece. I just, you got me, HBO. You did it. You made me enjoy a couple that's incestuous. Good for you, you freaking sickos. So good on. I enjoyed it. They do fit together. And I like the robes they were wearing for their wedding. Those look pretty neat.
Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah.
I got one of those for a cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I you know, it's so funny how these shows have desensitized us to something like their uncle and niece, because it is like, we're gonna ship them. That's the same relation as Danny and John had, and John was like, no, can't do that, sorry. It's the same age gap here, or same generational gap. But at the same time, Rhaenyra's, you know, talking about they were meant to burn together, she's not wrong. Just in terms of, you know, they have had a connection her whole life.
Oh, yeah. And they're both Targaryens. So, they were both raised with brother-sister marriages. That's why John couldn't do it. He wasn't raised in a sick cult cabal where you marry your relations. Right. They're both raised and like, of course I'm, because they also mentioned Daniel again for this book that mentioned that Aegon is now betrothed to his sister Elena, which
I love that conversation. But she's a moron or whatever.
That's the problem.
And Aemon's I would do it. I marry her.
Oh yeah.
Screw the cousins. Let's just do brother sister.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, screw everybody. We have a good question from Siegel here on YouTube. What do we think of Corlys and Rhaeny's little argument? He remembers names, not blood. Thoughts?
I loved it.
It was good.
It was a good scene.
Yeah.
I felt like we got a little bit more of who Corlys is versus his wife. And he clearly wants that power. And she's accepted her fate a long time ago.
long ago.
I thought it was very powerful and kind of like she's like, I want my granddaughters to have a stake in this. If I can't mm-hmm. have a stake in this and I got mine taken away, like at least my grand, like we need to pave the way for the granddaughter, whoever, to yeah. be able to do that. If they're twins, like how would that work though? Like would they both rule at the same time? Or
the
would-
oldest one, the older, the older one. One.
So if yeah. one is 2 minutes older, she gets
yep. primogeniture. That's the Lannisters. Baby. That's the way it works.
Yeah, yeah. The Lannisters in this show, Tyland and Jason, it's the same yeah. deal. Jason was older by however many minutes, and therefore he's Lord of Casterly Rock. I loved that scene because it's nice to see. So Corlys is a character in the book, and we're getting this in the show, who's like, he's prideful, but he's also one of the few just genuinely level-headed, good characters, like almost like a Ned Stark type figure in how he's looking at the world in a morally sound way. And I feel like hearing Corlys be like, that would be a real messed up thing to do to those boys. And there are families mm-hmm. still.
Which is true.
It was nice to hear some, you know, it, in the Game of Thrones, it's hard to tell if that's a right choice, but it's nice to hear someone put it in those kinds of really like just genuine like terms, like, you know, that casts a dark shadow over those boys. Let's not yeah. do that.
Which it would. I mean, I thought they both had points yeah. that yeah, Rainy, totally. I mean, because Corlys is 100% like using like, I'm doing this all for you, wife, to get our kids in the throne. Like, no, you're not. You want it yourself. Yeah. Just admit it. But also, yeah, like
totally
disinheriting Lucerys would definitely raise even more suspicion when there's already a lot. Like, that's true, too. I also like, yeah. I'll be, like that line, like history members, blood, not names. I didn't really like it when I heard it in the trailer. It made sense here when they were talking about like literally choosing between yeah. do you inherit to the blood relatives or the grandkids who, I mean, your son helped raise them, but they're not blood relatives. So that made yeah. more sense to me. I liked it.
Yeah.
We got a question. From Penny. Will Rhaenyra get pregnant again? I wanted to bring this up because I thought of this for you, Natalie. Because remember that you were saying that you were surprised how quickly the wedding happened between Daemon and Rhaenyra?
Yeah. There,
I remember in the book, at least, one of the suspicions is that they marry really quickly because Rhaenyra might already be in trouble, as the kids used to say, and they want to get married before there are opportunities yeah. to raise questions.
Mm. I mean, it would make sense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It would. We saw it happen. Yeah. They burned together. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that might have happened. I feel like she might have gotten pregnant from this scene just because of how they framed the scene, how much time they spent on the scene.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they pulled the that was the magical night and now they'll have children from it card.
As Nicole asked, does Viserys know they got married? And no, because it's secret. And also, I feel a little bad because in the preview, it looks like we're going to jump ahead again next episode. Like the kids are replaced by some older actors, some like they're teenagers now, like older teenagers, young 20 somethings. And in the book, it says Viserys is furious, as he would be, and we're not going to get to see it, which is too bad because I think they're going to skip forward.
I wanted to see that. I wanted to see Alice's face.
Oh, we are going to miss that stuff. Oh, that does kind of suck. Yeah. Because they named their first kid Aegon. Oh, I shouldn't say that. It'll be spoilers, which is just a direct dig. Speaking of marriage between those two and clearing the way, should we talk about the twisty twist at the end?
Yeah, I love that. Because I was like this watching, and then I was like, oh, snap, she just killed him off so she could go marry Daemon. But then I should have known better. She wanted him to be happy, and he got to be happy. I miss his dreads, though, because I thought the dreads were a great look. I liked it. I liked how they just, you know, tricked everybody so he could go be happy and be himself and not have to worry about anything else. And while he's giving up a lot of power and a lot of everything, I don't think he ever cared about that. I just think he wanted to be happy.
Yeah, fair enough.
And we anybody stand else? For
you
that.
Think, Natalie?
Good old.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I feel like Dan should go last because we know how Dan feels.
Wonder why.
I'm curious. I've been waiting for this conversation.
I know. I'll go quickly so we can get to Dan.
No, take your time.
No, I really liked it because like there's just so much death already on the show. I was telling you guys, it's not like it's Stranger Things where we're like, come on, like kill someone off already. The show isn't serious enough. But I thought it was nice. And Rhaenyra and Laenor had that nice, nice conversation. I thought it was so sweet between them, how he was like, I basically saying he hates that he doesn't like women. And Rhaenyra's like, I don't like, that's great. You know, like it's fine. And they had such a nice moment. If she went and then just killed him after that, I would have been like, are you kidding me? But yeah, I think it would have just been too jarring if she just abandoned everything that she would kind of had been saying or the way she'd been acting just to go ahead and be with Daemon. Like they could have figured it out another way, which obviously they did. So I was relieved. I liked it.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Okay. So I obviously so book readers know Laenor actually dies in the book. So this twist is a great one for the book reading crowd, for the non-book reading crowd.
Well, surprise.
The darkest rumor of the whole Laenor is dead is that Daemon planned it to basically get him out of the way so he can marry Rhaenyra. I like that they've kind of gone with the juiciest option. Anytime there's something like that where there are a bunch of rumors, Larys Strong was another one. There were like six rumors of what could have happened. And that's the got the weirdest implications. So with Laenor, I liked the twist. I like that Laenor gets to go off and, you know, basically row into the sunset. May he spend less time rowing than Gendry did. I think that is fitting for him. I think they've done the work to set that up, that it makes sense that the show's Laenor, he wants that. He wanted that. He's talked about how he wished he could go off adventuring, be back at sea. And, you know, he had that really nice conversation with Rhaenyra where he said he was ready to recommit to his family. But in this case, the best thing he could do for his family was to get out of Dodge. Like, because he was a liability, basically, is kind of where things had ended up.
Sure.
So I was nervous when Rhaenyra pitched the idea. I was like, oh, God, they're going to make it so Rhaenyra wants to kill Laenor. That's real dark, because that's not even a theory in the book. But I think the way they ended up going, I liked it. I felt good about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dan, how do you feel? Let's get into it.
Much like Laenor, I really tried. I tried to get on board with this. And after watching the episode three times, I don't think it makes the show fall apart. I think you can make a good argument for it. I think it makes sense. I just didn't. When I first saw it, I hated it. Oh my God. I can't stress.
Yeah.
When I first watched the episode on Wednesday night, the screener, I was like lying in bed being like, stupid. I've cooled off. I do like it better now. So my problems with it are a few. You, Daniel, you were just saying that they set up that Laenor wants to leave, but I mean, they also set up that he wants to stay and that he had a big conversation about, I want to recommit myself to you and to raise our sons. Frankly, I don't think they really set up anything definitive, which is probably for the best, because if they did, then it would be hard to justify. Because I mean, he's willing to just abandon his kids and abandon his parents and lie to his parents. I'm not sure it makes him look that good. I mean, there's an argument here that he does mean very, very selfish to go live in wealthy obscurity with his boy toy across the narrow sea rather than stick it out and stick around to the ship and defend his children and his parents and everything. I think it's an argument for that. I mean, we just don't know. Like, I'm willing to just assume that, okay, he didn't want this. I don't think we really got that set up. We didn't really know enough. I don't like being faked out on principle. And also...
on principle?
What do you mean on principle? I don't like fake out things because they don't...
Okay.
Because it trades on us not knowing something. Like, a good twist should be, it seems obvious when you look back to me. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to make an example for fear of getting sidetracked.
Okay.
That's fair. This, like, you look back and I'm like, well, I mean, there was a little evidence that Laenor wanted to go, but also a lot that he didn't. And he's abandoning his dragon and abandoning all the privileges that come with his family. Like, we just didn't really get enough into his head, I think, to really make that obvious in retrospect. I also, and then the mechanics are a little like, oh, okay, also this, it made you feel good. Daemon still fully murdered a guy. And then just stuck. Like,
we don't know that guy.
Just one that we didn't know. We all feel great, so it's fine. It's fine that he kills him, but it's a random we don't know. And then sticks his head in a fire, and apparently it's going to burn him. I didn't like that because it feels a little. And then, so Natalie, I remember you were saying that you were watching Rhaenyra pitch "Let's kill Laenor" and being nervous. I got to admit. So again, three times. The first and third time I watched it, I'm watching them doing this, and I got this wonderful booing dread of like Rhaenyra and Daemon kissing each other at the wedding and like wedding these two murderous psychopaths together. Like, we will stop at nothing to get on the throne. Willing to do anything, even kill my husband and a decent man, because we're burning together. We're burning everything. And I was like, this is epically tragic. This is wonderful. This is horrid, but also just, oh, so sickeningly horrible. And I kind of love it. I love it. And then it took me away. No, we're nice. No, we did the right thing. We made him go away. And I thought the other one was more powerful. Frankly, I thought it was more compelling. So I was on board with Daemon and Rhaenyra, king and queen of pain. And I just didn't like being faked out that they're actually Daemon and Rhaenyra, king and queen of being really nice, actually.
I do think it kind of, you know, you were talking earlier, I think, Dan, about how the Greens have been framed rather villainously. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a way to really pull that back for the Blacks, for Rhaenyra's faction, and make them seem less villainous. Because, like, you're right, that would have been, like, really dark if Rhaenyra had that idea. And then they killed Laenor, decent man, doing his best. But they kind of showed that other people will think that about them. Yeah. But we, the viewers, know they have a heart of gold. It's kind of how it feels.
And I have one more thing, and then I swear we'll shut up.
Savannah's got thoughts.
I do think there are good reasons for it. Like, you know, I think she's right that Daemon is a better warrior. With this, they can actually have children who have the Targaryen blonde, so that won't be in question. That'll be good for the claim. That all makes sense. I wish they would say that, because in this situation, I think we need as much justification, narrative justification, as possible. And instead, they went to the route of like, let's do a little hidden, sneaky thing and not tell you a lot, so you'll be surprised. I think here, the more info, the better.
No.
Yes.
I like the sneaky sneak, because that is what Game of Thrones, like, that's what we get with this show. We get sneaky and we get conniving and we get, you know, twists and turns, and that's what makes us appreciate, like, the characters that we want to like, and that's what makes us hate the ones we don't like. Like, I don't think he was selfish at all. I think he was actually pretty selfless, because he could have, to me, if he stuck around, that would it have been selfish? Yeah, kind of, because he wanted that power and stuff. But instead, he wanted Rhaenyra to be happy. And in return, he got to be happy. And to me, like, him choosing his happiness was what he needed to do. I don't think that's selfish at all. Like, I think that's so not Game of Thrones, because usually it's, you know, you do your duty, and no matter what happens, like, if that doesn't make you happy, so be it. Kind of like with Cersei and Jaime, like when Jaime tries to get her to leave and run away and go, you know, just go be together, and she's like, nope, gonna stay here, do what I need to do. We all saw what happened there. But like, with him getting that peace of mind, that even though they kind of tricked us all by faking his death, like, he got to go off into the sunset with his boyfriend, and I think that's a win for us all, because we don't ever get that in Game of Thrones. Like, it's your dad, or you're gonna do something that you don't like and you have to deal with it. He made his parents feel pretty crappy, but
yeah.
He did.
You know,
I think
hardly a clean break.
I think he had a choice.
And his kids
like
his kids think he's the dad. Lucerys doesn't even know he's not real.
It's true. I think so. It's interesting framing this as like Laenor's selfish, Laenor's choosing this or that. I personally, I doubt that he really had was given a choice.
Yeah.
I could imagine Daemon or Carl coming, which I see people in the comments talking about, like, who do we think was in on this?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
all four of them those planned this together.
Great. And you know why
they
I love
are
those
great
comments? Because
they prove your point.
Yes, they do. We have people in the comments questioning, like, so did Daemon just, did Rhaenyra want him dead? And then Daemon just took it upon himself to maybe just fake it. The fact that we don't know that it wasn't clear is bad. Okay. That's bad. It's bad writing. We're supposed to know.
I think
it should be more clear.
I do think that's fair in regards to Rhaenyra.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm willing to just
because
go
she's
with
the
it
one we really can't
I am
be sure.
I am willing to just go with it. I'm just saying that this can't be an A episode because this should be better written. But I'm going with it too. I'm going with it. It's fine. It doesn't break things. I think this is the best episode of the show up to that last twist, which was a little for me. But otherwise, yeah. I'm glad everybody liked it.
One thing I do want to hit on, because people were asking about this earlier, Sea Smoke, I'll just put this out there. That's the thing that I like least about Laenor going off into the sunset, is he's just leaving his dragon behind. So we'll talk book stuff here just a little bit. Okay. Laenor dies in the book instead of going off into the sunset. Sea Smoke basically goes and lives in a cave for like a few years. So that's pretty much going to happen the same way, I would assume. I don't think whether he dies or not is going to affect what happens to Sea Smoke next.
So Sea Smoke is just like mourning, like a pet mourns. Well, so
I
mean, you mean
again,
to tell
also,
me he's putting the dragon through emotional damage? Okay, I'm not.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Although also, I mean, just even in the episode, because when the Greens leave and Aemon leaves, Vhagar follows them. Because I guess Vhagar knows who his rider is now. But Sea Smoke just hangs back. Again, like, who knows what a dragon does? I don't, dragons aren't real. Like, they do whatever because they want to do it. But it's
I think
a
Aemon was
mythological inconsistency.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the kids were riding their dragons at the end. Maybe I'm wrong.
You can't prove
that. But that was kind of, I can't prove it. It's true. I'll have to go back and pause and zoom. Hmm.
Just go with it. So it's an explanation.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
It makes me sad for Sea Smoke, though. I don't like
him. And his parents. Sad. And his children.
Nah.
No, just Sea Smoke. Like, the poor dragon now doesn't know what happened, and now he's got to sit in a cave for a while and just sulk, like...
Or does his six-year-old son, Lucerys, think this baddie just died. And here's your new daddy. Here's your uncle daddy. Well, have fun.
I feel bad for the kids.
Me too. They had to watch them just making out however long after the dad died. I was just like, I'm shipping them. This is great. But also the kids are right there. Like, save it.
And let's not forget the family I'm going to invent of the guy Daemon murdered. He has a wife. He has four children.
Don't even go there.
Parents. He has grandparents.
He was a bachelor.
And now he's just dead.
No.
No,
he lives in a spare room over the inn. Spare room over the inn. He hasn't had a family in years.
Yeah.
Bottom line,
it didn't happen.
Yeah. He's an awful. He's a criminal.
He enjoyed picking the wings off flies.
Yes, he did. Setting fires and bottom line, I don't think this twist makes Team Rhaenyra look as nice as they were intending them to. And I think it creates some inconsistencies that might bite him in the ass later. So overall, I don't like it. I wish they'd find something else. But I'm going to go with it. It's cool, but I don't like it.
Yeah. I am curious about the fallout from it. Because I think that is... By normal TV logic, just because Laenor rode off into the sun... Or rode off into the sunset doesn't necessarily mean we won't... Like, on a normal show, you would think that means we'll see him again, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
I think that is a curious thing, like a curious TV thing.
I kind of hope he dies in the next three episodes in like an unrelated thing. Because at least then that'll like kind of that'll set things. At least then it'll plug the sea smoke hole.
I feel like he just will never be in it again.
Right. And be with his boyfriend.
No, the story is not correct. It must be corrected.
But I think that's what I mean. And today, you know, we needed that because he was forced to be married to a woman. He doesn't like women. And in today's society, we want everybody to love who they want to be able to love. And he got to run off into the sunset with his boyfriend. I don't
that's
like
super die.
But, you know, maybe he'll die in the Stepstones or wherever the war's going back on with Carl with the Q.
Yeah, with the Q, yeah.
With the Q, yep. That threw me off.
I'd be okay maybe with it if Sea Smoke is the one who kills him. Sea Smoke goes,
there we go.
Finds him and chomps him down in an angry pet rage. You abandoned me.
I can get with that, Daniel. I can get with that. All right, cool with it now.
I'd be, okay with that.
Any other thoughts on the episode 7, Driftmark? The more I think about it, I don't like it. The end. Most of it, great. The end. I thought I'd gotten past it, but clearly I have not.
I reckon I better watch it a couple of more times so I can feel like you, Dan.
No one should feel like me. It's a terrible thing. But that is how I feel.
I don't know. I think this is probably one of the best episodes yet outside of 4. And the way that I really like the wedding scene between Rhaenyra and Daemon. I think they just finally gave us all what we wanted. And I'm happy for it. And I think the kids are going to come together. Because to me, that kid fight scene is going to be a little bit more of a, maybe not for y'all, because y'all done read the books and stuff. But to me, maybe, like, that's going to stick with the girls and Jace and Luke. Like, that's going to stick with them. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to, you know, fuel the fire. Also, where's the child? Where's the newest? Where's Joffrey?
I don't know. I mean,
at the wedding, he's a baby.
Probably sleeping, taking his nap
with a beer can on his head, like
exactly.
Oh yeah.
I'm just glad that they're together. I cannot wait to see them as a power couple, because that's what we've been waiting for. And I think because we didn't get it with Dany and Jon Snow, we're gonna get now, and that's what we've been waiting for years. And they're just gonna take over the world. Screw the greens,
and everyone will live happily ever after.
No, I mean, but
Jace just figured out that Harwin is his actual dad, and he died, and now he loses his adoptive dad. God, those kids are having it rough. Again, next week is older kids, otherwise same actors. They didn't show Viserys, but like I imagine he has like 2 hairs and it just has to be like wear a veil everywhere, because like when you see him, it's like ugh. But we'll see.
He had a I've seen one image from I think it was a foreign ad for HBO Max where he had a half of mask on. So if they didn't show him, I'm gonna go with probably to make that more shocking, because his face is starting to get real gross. Yeah,
sweet. Well, we'll see that. Any other comments on anything before we sign off?
Do we know how much time will pass between these two? Because I thought the big time jump was between, it is between 7 and 8, right? So
yeah. And after that, I will say this, after that, I don't think there'll be any more big time jumps for the entire series. That should be the end.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, tentatively, who knows what they'll do in
the interim period.
Yeah. I think, as we get to the end of it, we'll have to, who knows? They're going to do what they want, but I think it'll be
that's
more linear.
That's kind of built in. Okay. You know what? I'm already writing my head canon, because, I'm going to spoil the tiny little spoiler. Sea Smoke gets claimed eventually by somebody else. And maybe I'll just imagine that Laenor died in that time jump, and then that'll make it possible. Okay. I'm there. Calm.
Yeah.
I need that. Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Because I like this comment from Meme City Ghost. John Snow didn't say bye to me. Sea Smoke, hold my dragon riding.
Yeah, harsh. I'll leave my end note as I enjoyed the Lenore twist. I was so surprised by it because I didn't expect them to do it. And it doesn't, if he never appears again, it doesn't change anything. So I think they're doing a good job of coloring in between the lines of history that we got from the books. So
agree,
I'll leave it with that.
To disagree.
Real
anyway,
fast.
Devil's yes. advocate.
Real fast. I'm just going to be real fast because I was thinking about it. Daemon did kill the innocent man, but that should have gave you a hint, Dan, that they were going to fake Lenore's death, because why would he just kill a random man?
It was going like really I didn't know. It was going for fast. Like it's a
it
thing.
Was
like,
really
fast. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They were like Rhaenyra was narrating. They were going fast because they didn't want you thinking, because they wanted you to look at things and listen to like her kind yeah. of portentous monologue. So you wouldn't think like, wait, what's happening? Why didn't we actually see the blade? Why is his body burned? Oh, wait, now they're getting married. Oh, those robes are cool. Oh, why do they cut their lips when they bleed? Oh, the kids are watching them kiss. And then it just kind of blindsides you. It was duplicitous editing, is my opinion. Designed to bedazzle you. So you would be ready to get clonked inside of the head with a twist.
Yeah, we always are.
Oh, yeah, we are.
That's why I really love this show. It makes you clutch show. Your pearls.
Like Allison.
Grab a knife and attack your nephew. Anyway, everybody, thanks for coming. This has been Take the Black Live. We recap and review every single episode of House of the Dragon every Sunday right after it airs. And also, we do Take the Black Live shows every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winter is Coming Facebook page and YouTube page. We talk about other things going on in the world of sci-fi, fantasy, TV, movies. I've been Dan Selke, and you guys have been
Natalie,
Savannah,
and Daniel.
And we'll be back next Sunday. In the meantime, you can get us on Google Play, podcast form, Google Play, iTunes, wherever comics are available. Thanks for watching. Have a good night. Justice for Lenore, whatever that means to you. Goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by Fansided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.